Welcome to the Tuesday night edition of our Sunday chat, or whatever you want to call it. It is Brian Newbert, Tom Deanhart, and myself, Alan Karpik from goldenblack.com, as this has been a historic day in the history of the Big Ten and the history of college football, in all honesty, with the move from the Big Ten's choice to postpone at best the 2021 season, certainly the 2020 season. And we'll get into that in a minute. We'll also thank our sponsor, who's are also having a historic opening at Purdue. And that, of course, is the Purdue Union Club Hotel. And they are our Zoom sponsor for this year. We're grateful for them. And they've got a beautiful new facility on campus, in addition to the 811 Bar and Grill. A lot to see the next time that you're on campus. And I'm going to start with you, Brian, just on your reaction. I mean, what a week this has been. It hasn't even been a week yet. Wasn't it last Wednesday when we saw the announcement of the Big Ten schedule? And 6 days later, we see the postponement of the 2020, the cancellation really of the 2020 fall season. There is a chance and that we'll see a spring 2021 season. But now looking at it through the lens of a few hours, and you haven't had a whole lot of time to think about this, but what do you see?
Yeah, I mean, just a dizzying turn of events. I mean, you know, there was a lot of, it seemed like positive momentum for football here. And you're talking to somebody who has said from day one of how important football is, but has also tried to frame this as an ethical issue too, in terms of the inherent risks, not just that, but the things we don't know. And, but right. With all of that being said, I always figured, I thought football was really important. I figured, you know, they'd find a way. And, you know, obviously they've spent months trying to find a way. And then, you know, you had the schedule announcement last week that comes off now like a really colossal kind of tease, almost a cruel turn here.
Yeah.
Kind of got everybody's hopes up. I doubt that was the Big Ten's intent. I do think they had to plan. And then something this weekend, you know, according to people on BTN, according to the Purdue people we talked to, today, something this weekend just changed everything. And whether it was the heart issue revelation, which is obviously not to be taken lightly. I've always looked at the fact that people are studying pulmonary issues and neurological issues in people in a novel virus. It's called novel for a reason. It means it's new and we don't know enough about it. But it just changed. And, you know, this wasn't Kevin Warren acting as king here. This was commissioners work for the university presidents, work with and for the university presidents. And obviously, what we know about the vote, the reported vote about it being a 12-2 margin, Iowa and Nebraska being the two to vote for, that's 12 university presidents who also weren't, you know, totally on board with this. And if you don't think their considerations were serious, they are walking away from hundreds of millions of dollars. And, you know, obviously, there was something very, very compelling about all that went into this here at the 11th hour. And that's kind of why we are where we are right now. But I did think, you know, all along, football would find a way. I did certainly think last week, you know, football again would find a way. Obviously, me and a lot of other people were very mistaken.
Yeah, you know, and I felt that way as well. $800 million in television revenue. Broad stroke, and again, that doesn't include basketball, so it may not be quite that much, but you're right, you're walking away from that, and that's also making an assumption that you could have got this done. Tom, I know that you've been saying all along, you know, we've talked about the need for a vaccine, and that's been an obvious need. It seems clear to me that something that the heart issue, and like Brian said, the lack of knowledge of exactly what we're dealing with here, really ended up being the final straw that changed the view not only of Kevin Warren but also the Big Ten presidents and certainly probably many athletic directors as well.
Yeah, I think as Brian said, I'll echo that simple phrase: we just don't know, right? How many times have we uttered that the last 5 or 6 months when talking about the virus and the ramifications long term, right, guys? We all understand, we've heard a million times how young people really aren't affected by this short term. They get over it. It's not a big deal. Then there's the but. But are there long-term effects from catching this virus to your neurological system, as Brian said, to your pulmonary system as well? We don't know. And I think a big turning point that probably scared the bejesus out of a lot of people was with the Indiana offensive lineman and his mother's passionate plea on Facebook about her son's, you know, sound like a near fatal COVID-19 experience. And if that didn't get your attention as a Big Ten administrator, I don't know what can. So again, I think that was a big moment in this whole process as well. That lands us to this point today, guys. No Big Ten football for the fall of 2020. The Pac-12 guys today made the same decision. That leaves three Power Five conferences still considering this. And it's going to be mighty interesting, fellas. I'd love to know your thoughts on if anybody really does take the plunge to play football this year. Boy, the blowback in the SEC, if there's no football down there, I can't imagine what Commissioner Greg Sankey is going to feel, and all those university presidents too.
Yeah, I think that's a great, great question. And, you know, through the history of the Big Ten, and I'm, go back and look at the Big Ten has stuck together through thick or thin historically, at least if you go back to the 10 original universities, even back to the University of Chicago, which when it was formed, and has had a tendency, and I'm not saying that they're taking the righteous move here, but they have taken the long view historically. And I got the sense today, I've gotten the sense even really the last several times I've watched Kevin Warren, that is, I'm going to take him at his word here, that this is kind of what we're doing. We don't know what the deal is. It's not worth it to run it out. Is that a fair assessment in your view, Brian? I mean, is that the way you view the Big Ten?
Yeah, look, I think, there's a layer to this all along that's been a moral, ethical, whatever term you want to assign to it, issue. And, I see people, not to stick up for Kevin Warren here, obviously this was not handled great the last few days. Everybody's going in different directions in the Big Ten. But he made a very difficult decision. He made it before anyone else. And he put at risk millions and millions of dollars in his first year on the job. So anybody saying Kevin Warren's not a leader, I think that's kind of the definition of leadership. Yeah. Making a really hard decision in the face of massive blowback in your first year on the job because you think it's the right thing to do. Look, what you cannot do here, and look, I wanted football as much as anybody. Everybody wanted football. Nobody was rooting against football. What you could not do here was kill a kid. You cannot kill a kid. And, again, you just don't know. I understand that a lot of people said, hey, let's push it back to September 26th. That made a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. But if you're saying, hey, we have real concerns over whether this is safe, you're going to leave them on the practice field? I mean, it's just, that's kind of, I think, the crux of all of this is that this might not have been the popular decision. This might not even, in the long view, turn out to be the right decision, but it was made for all the right reasons. They are trying to protect kids. They got out in front of something that should be, a four-alarm fire in a lot of people's minds. When it comes to this heart thing, the unknown is the scariest thing on earth here because, again, what I said before is what you cannot do is you cannot put someone's son on the field and let them die because you had a few hundred million dollars at stake. That was the worst case scenario here, and that will remain the worst case scenario for everybody else who decides to play if they end up actually playing.
Jeff Rahm today, Tom, talked about, that he kind of was, he answered honestly, I thought he was interesting from that standpoint and talking about, boy, if it were him, he would have pushed it back to the 26th and checked it there. But I buy Tom, Brian's logic because you knew going in that they had gotten the warning that there were no pat or, that they couldn't do certain things in practice. And we were kind of working our way toward that direction. But it also tells me that there was some decision making still going on. They weren't sure, even on over the weekend, how this was going to play out. They were trying to put themselves in the best decision. Hard to fault that logic, in my view, even though I can understand Jeff Brom's logic, and I appreciate his honesty of trying to kick the can down the road. But maybe there does come a time, no mas here.
Yeah, he's a football coach. He wants to coach football. Yeah. I think we all understand that. We want to watch football, right, guys? Our viewers want to watch football. We love it. But again, Jeff Brohm understands a lot of the risk that Brian, of course, has laid out for us here. He kind of got the gist that something was really going to go awry on Saturday when the Big Ten issued that statement or the edict, I should say, to its schools to not move forward with padded football practices, to remain in helmets and shorts, right? That wasn't a good sign, and Brohm knew it. And he says his players started to get the sense that that wasn't a good sign. So he got the sense talking to Jeff today that the gloom started to build Saturday. And, of course, it all crescendos today. And now, of course, Jeff wants to, being the positive guy he is, wants to try looking for a spring season, right? He wants to play spring football. Again, it was very apparent today watching BTN and talking to others that there is no guarantee of a spring season even, guys. That's still a hope. There have been no plans made at all. We asked questions about scheduling and when it would start, et cetera. There's been not one iota of thought given to how the season in the spring would be executed. Jeff Brohm's got a plan.
Yeah,
yeah. He laid it out for us today in the press conference. Check out the stories on the site for that. But he's got a plan to make it work. No shock there, right? So, again, he's trying to stay positive. He's got to keep his guys healthy. He thinks being at Purdue is a great environment for him. They're going to have a COVID test tomorrow, he said. They're going to continue to test the players for COVID, take care of their players as they always do during the course of a season. So, again, this fall is going to feel different, look different. But he's going to make the best of it and make sure, number one, again, his guys are taken care of. And number two, hope that, again, maybe they can get some football, actual football games on the line to be played in the spring.
Brian, I'm going to ask you a two-part question. The first one I want to ask you about your reaction to Mike Babinski. But secondly, before I forget, just that whole notion of players were safer playing. Well, I thought Jeff Brohm kind of played into that comment today by saying, it's still our duty to keep our guys healthy. They still right. have to be responsible when they're on campus. All those factors, you know, seem to me to be eliminated if you use that logic, oh, they're much safer playing, and therefore we got to play. Now, can you remember the questions I asked?
Yeah, well, look, it's up to the schools to protect the kids, but it's up to the kids to protect the kids too. Yeah. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense to say, you know, that when you keep them in a structured environment, when you keep them around the football program, when you can control what you can control from 9 to 5 every day, which is only so much, they should be safer and they should be less vulnerable to the virus. Go ask Rutgers how that's going. You know, as of right now, as Jeff Brohm has said here the last couple of days, they're down a bunch of guys presumably because of COVID, because of quarantines associated with someone having COVID. And this is 2 months after they got back. And this is 2 weeks before 30,000 of their closest friends from all over the country come back to Purdue. That's just another sobering kind of reality here is these guys have been in as close to a bubble as you can put college athletes in. And they're still getting it, you know, and they're still, the hope had to be that you could manage this to a point where you could kind of drown it in a bathtub, so to speak. That doesn't seem to be happening. A bunch of people in the Big Ten have shut down workouts. Purdue never had to come to that point, at least to our knowledge. But it's just a really tough deal to manage. It's a really tough deal to control. If we were in a better place as a country with all of this, maybe things are different, but that's probably not changing what they found this weekend about the heart issue. I think that's the same thing Eduardo Rodriguez, the pitcher for the Red Sox, had that ended his season. That should have been, you know, another four-alarm situation for everybody involved in sports and COVID. But I forgot the other part of your question.
Well, I was not fair to do that. Okay, and I wanted to comment. He also, you know, Brohm talked about contact tracing, and that was part of the reason why he had guys on the shelf. Not that they necessarily
right. –
but that's a huge, huge challenge for a head football right. coach to deal with. Now, my other question was your perception. Mike Babinski is a very athletic director type in this situation, even though you can tell this is wearing on him, but he knows how to handle these situations, at least from a public perception. But your thoughts and high points of what Mike said today during his part of the press conference, the first of the two.
Well, yeah, I mean, he obviously has a situation on his hands, as he has for the last couple months, as he well knows. But you know, the business of football and college athletics isn't a secret. It is the backbone of everything you do from a money perspective, and obviously these are very large enterprises from a financial perspective. And you know, without a football season, or at least an immediate football season, again, we don't know how this is going to work. If you have a spring season and you can recoup as much of your money as possible, I don't know how this is going to work. They don't know how this is going to work, but you're in a really tough spot now because you're talking $50, $60 million that you have to now somehow make up for. They announced their More Than a Game initiative today, where they're going to try to get as many private donations to help bridge this gap as they can. You know, it would be awful ambitious to think you can get, you know, more than a couple million out of that, if that. I'm not a fundraiser. I don't know. I'm just throwing numbers out there. There's going to have to be some sort of third-party help here, right? I mean, there's going to have to be some sort of loan, some sort of bailout, some sort of golden parachute, just to get you through this year, and then just hope like hell that things lift in the spring. You have at least half a basketball season. You have a spring season. You recoup some TV money, and all of a sudden you're back on your feet under a very different new reality. But you know, there's no way around this now. You know, unfortunately, people's salaries are going to get affected. People's jobs are going to get affected. Furloughs, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in terms of sports being dropped. But again, a lot of this stuff we're talking about here, most of it is drops in the bucket. I mean, you could let go of 50 people tomorrow who make less than $100,000 a year, and you've basically accounted for a relatively minute percentage of your problem.
$1 million. I mean, yeah.
There's no button you can push here where you make all of that money back and all of a sudden you're right back where you needed to be. It's a very, very difficult situation they're in, obviously, a situation I'm sure they've prepared for, but I don't know if you're ever quite ready for.
Yeah, one would think that, and I don't know all the finance. You did an excellent job last week on the site kind of bringing together what the dollars were, and we don't know exactly. We do know that Purdue had a roughly $52 to $54 million in television revenue, of which some of that is basketball. So it's not all football, but a lot of it is. 85% of it.
I think it was $29 million or something like that. Yeah. Directly off.
But the deal is, you're right. It's going to take some things. It's going to take some creative ways to quote unquote bridge this, and how a university that deals with that is going to be an interesting storyline. We all will be watching from that standpoint, but I don't envy anybody from the president of the university to Mike Babinski, to anybody in the department, just because of the challenges that lay ahead. Tom, you know, you look at some interesting dealings, and by the time people watch this, this may have changed just because it's such a fluid situation. Nebraska has talked openly about possibly joining with the SEC or Big 12 or whatever. I'm not even 100% sure what went down or what is going down. Interesting, because again, that Big Ten has stuck together, and Nebraska is a relatively new member of this league. What do you take of that?
Yeah, disappointed, Alan. Like you said, you have to be a family. You have to stick together, right? And you mentioned how the Big Ten has always been together. There's revenue sharing, right? Northwestern and Ohio State are given the same cut of money. Purdue gets what Michigan gets from a revenue sharing standpoint. I'm sure Michigan, Ohio State can make a lot more money if they didn't have to share with everybody, right? And again, the whole concept of being a conference and a family is being in everything together, even if it doesn't benefit you sometimes. And this situation obviously upsets Nebraska a lot, to the point where they're acting like a petulant child. It's not getting their way. Yeah. So they're going to take their toys and go somewhere else so they can do what they want to do. They don't care what anybody else in their own family thinks about it. A very selfish, selfish way to behave. So again, I'll be fascinated to see how far Nebraska takes this, guys. If you watch Kevin Warren today on BTN, he never really answered Dave Revson's questions clearly on how he was going to handle Nebraska's, I guess, perceived threat to take their footballs and go play somewhere else. So, again, the next few days, next few weeks, next few months, the posturing is going to continue, and it's going to be interesting to see if Nebraska doesn't really push this envelope, tries to play football games outside of the realm of the Big Ten this fall.
Yeah. Hey,
go ahead.
Just real quick about that. When I saw what Kevin Warren said or didn't say about Nebraska on TV, I read that immediately, or I processed that immediately as, you know damn well legally you can't do that, but I'm not going to say that publicly because I have to work with you again after this season. There is no way their membership in the Big Ten isn't written in a way where they could just decide, I'm going to go play in the Big 12 this year or something like that. Also, what's to say the Big 12 is playing? I mean, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to leave the Big Ten right now and then go play somewhere that might get shut down before they even get off the ground too? Like, this is, I mean, this is, I understand Nebraska and Iowa are two states that have been relatively lightly hit by COVID, if you can say that about any state, but this is just football being more important than everything at Nebraska. And, you know, the Big Ten bent over backwards to let them in academically. And them saying, I want to go play for the Big 12 this year would be the same thing in a way as Ohio State next year when everything's normal again, saying, hey, you know what, guys, we're going to keep our bowl money this year. Sorry. It just, you know, come on, guys.
Yeah, it reeks of knee-jerk reaction in my view, and I think maybe the emotion of it all. However,
it also might be political.
Yes, and there is, and you remember the senator.
I mean, football is culture in Nebraska. It is a huge deal. You want your fans to know, hey, we are doing everything in our power here. We want to play as much as you guys want us to play. I don't blame them in that sense, but if they take this any further and actually act on this, that would be pretty appalling if you ask me.
Yeah, I would agree. It's going to be and again, I think it does reek of a little bit of a knee jerk. But it did surprise me a little bit of some of their comments that I read, at least as this was going down. So it'll keep it interesting in the near term, and I guess that part will sustain us for a bit of that. Tom, did you have something else you wanted to add? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
It was just interesting, Jeff Brom. I asked him about, you know, how he felt about Scott Frost and James Franklin and Harbaugh and Ryan Day being so vocal on Twitter.
Yesterday, yeah.
On Monday, you know. And
Monday, yeah.
Jeff said he had the same sentiments, but he didn't want to verbalize stuff. He knew what his bosses wanted. And, again, he wasn't going to overstep his boundaries and go against the wishes of his commissioner, of his university president, and so forth. So that was revealing to hear Jeff answer that question. He also expressed, guys, some disappointment that all the Power Five leagues couldn't be in unison.
Yeah, yeah. That's got to change.
It has to change.
We've all heard the wish for some type of a football czar. Whatever it is, again, he was disappointed that they couldn't have all made the same decision to all go to the spring. But again, that's the nature of college football. As we know, guys, there's no uniform leadership. There's no commissioner. And here we are in this situation where it's every man for themselves, every league for themselves.
Yeah. And I think I think we'll all be able to write/think about what this will look like, assuming that we have a vaccine within 9 months. You know, what will be the scorched earth of this deal and what will be? And a lot of it will be determined, in my view, of how these schools react here in the next short period of time.
Don't forget, too, another big part of the working in the background is all that student rights thing. The United front as well. And that's going to have to be dealt with, too, by the NCAA and college sports. So how is that going to impact the future of college sports and how it looks, too, moving forward?
Yeah, Brian, on the heels of that, that really adds an interesting part to this, because you're probably going to, and again, they may on Tuesday night may have been folks reaching out on Twitter and making comments. I haven't seen a lot yet. I'm guessing we will see some from certain schools on this. Does that land in a good place, or is that just something we have to work through, not only as an academic or an athletic society, but as a society as a whole?
Are you talking about players organizing?
Yes, and their voice here.
Yeah, I mean, it's entirely plausible that, you know, right now you're sitting here as part of the structure where it's the president of the NCAA, you know, sitting behind a big desk working for all of the university presidents in the NCAA. Could in a couple of years be three seats at that table, one being the university, one being the NCAA president, one being a Power Five football commissioner, and another one being a representative of the Players Association. I mean, that's what this, if it were that system now, you would have had everybody on the same page. You would have had a coherent conversation. You would have had more of a plan. That wouldn't change anything about the fact that, look, again, one of the most important points I can make here is this is the virus's fault. You know, of everybody who had a small role in everything that, you know, didn't go perfectly here or went completely awry, nobody is to blame more than the freaking virus. You know, this, our whole country, the whole world has been affected by this in innumerable ways. And the virus is to blame for all of this. That being said, I don't know if three people on an even plane of influence around a table would have changed anything about the fact that on Saturday, all of a sudden you found out that there are heart related implications that could come with COVID for college athletes. Again, what you cannot do is kill a kid. And what you cannot do is put young people in harm's way knowingly and then just hope for the best, because every kid wants to play. They are going to play no matter what. If you're assessing risk, the people who are going to be put at risk probably aren't reading medical journals, you know, about, oh my gosh, we found this in a cadaver of someone who died from COVID-19. There's a lesion on his brain. This so-and-so person can't catch his breath now a year and a half after, or X number of months after recovering from COVID. We don't even have a year and a half of data, so I don't know why I said a year and a half. It's just someone had to protect people from themselves in this. And, you know, the whether it was right or wrong, you know, we may never know, but it was the Big Ten commissioner and the university presidents voting and acting to basically insulate all of those people from the risk that, you know, may or may not even have stricken the Big Ten had they gone ahead and played. But now it's up to the SEC to find out. If something happens to them, you know, there's no way of knowing what would have happened anywhere, but it's a matter of how much risk you are willing to incur. And when you're taking the risk, but other people have to live the risk, that puts you in a pretty a position where you got to have a lot of responsibility and a pretty strong moral compass, in my opinion.
Yeah, Big 12, and now just moments ago, and again, this is recording at about 8:30 on Tuesday night, just talked about the fact that they are going to proceed forward, at least at this point in time, and that's going to be another storyline that, again, that we'll be watching. I thought, and we'll get to our parting shots here, just in terms of Jeff Brohm today talking about, you know, hey, and I thought that was good that he said, you know, I may not have all the answers here. I talked about September 26th. But I wasn't in the room with, may not have been in the room when the medical folks made their determinations and expressed these concerns to university presidents or athletic directors or commissioners. And I thought that was an important thing, is that the coaches and players don't know everything. And there's a certain amount of protecting, you know, and again, they are 18 to 22 year olds, and there's somebody has to play the adult in this deal, and apparently the Big Ten chose to take that tack. Tom, last comments or things that you'll be watching for here in the near term?
Yeah, you know, fascinated again by the decisions by the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12, and in coming I guess weeks, what are they going to do? Of course, the Nebraska storyline we talked about as well. Purdue and how it manages its financial crisis is going to be interesting too. Brian asked about recruiting today.
Yeah.
Jeff Brohm says that's not ideal because they can't get guys on campus, but nobody can, so there's no real advantage there. But you know, that's a dynamic as well that's still continuing to go on too, in the backdrop of all of the other crises that these schools are dealing with. So those are a few things that I for sure will be watching.
Brian, I just want to say something. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I just if you're going to ask me for a parting shot, the thing I wanted to say was just this sucks. I mean, you know, we all love football. Everybody loves football. Everybody wanted football. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time, you know, talking about all of the reasons to not play football here. And I don't want talking about to be confused with necessarily stuffing it down people's throats or, you know, necessarily advocating for it. We don't know who's right and wrong here. Nobody does. Nobody may ever know. We have no idea, you know, if there might have been 50 Jay Simpsons on on Big Ten football rosters this year who would have been taking their life in their hands every time they played. We don't know if there would have been zero. There very well might have been zero. We could have gotten through this potentially unscathed. We'll never know. But everybody wanted football. And that doesn't mean necessarily it was always going to happen. It is just, it is profoundly disappointing we're here at this time. But the most important thing I can underscore is this is the virus's fault. And college football is, you know, it pales in comparison in importance to all the people who've lost their jobs, lost their lives, lost their families, whatever it might be, to this damn virus. But this is the world we live in. Everything's changed. And there was always going to be a lot of collateral damage to this. And it's heartbreaking and frustrating and maddening right now that college football, you know, as important as it is to America and to a lot of people, you know, was part of the collateral damage here, at least from a Big Ten perspective.
I was going to ask you to give us a good, give us some positive news because that they'll play basketball, but that could be called into question.
Well, the positive news here is that the sun's going to come up. I mean, you know, we are eventually we're going to beat this thing. It would have been great if we beat it 3 months ago or 2 months ago or last week, but eventually we're going to beat it. There's going to be normalcy again. If there's football in the spring, great. A point I was going to make in my column this week is it's going to sound a little bit tortured here, just saying it off the top of my head. But if you watch Major League Baseball games on Fox, they superimpose fans in the empty stands, which is ridiculously stupid. And my whole point about this is, look, this isn't normal. Embrace the abnormality. Enjoy it, you know? Make the best of it. Look at the empty stands. Who cares? There's going to be – there could be a spring football season. Let's look forward to that. Let's talk about the process getting there. Let's talk about getting through this all together, you know? Let's not kind of sit here all fall and kind of cry in our milk about what's not happening on Saturday afternoon, but let's look ahead to what will eventually happen. My guess remains there's going to be a college basketball season of some kind. It may not start till January. It might just be conference games for all I know, but there's going to be basketball. Recruiting's going to continue on. There's going to be football again eventually, whether it's in the spring or next year. You know, life at the end of the day goes on, and the sun at some point will come up.
Yeah, managing this in as constructive a light as possible is absolutely essential for all of us, really, as we move forward. And I appreciate those sentiments. All right, guys, appreciate your time on a Tuesday evening and good conversation. But we also thank all of you for watching and or listening to this. And also thank the Purdue Union Club Hotel, brand new, phenomenal facility. I'll be in there for the first time on Thursday, but I've heard great just for a brief visit with mask on, et cetera. But we will say that the reviews are great, and we want to thank them for sponsoring us. So we will have our Sunday conversation as well on Sunday. More to talk about, I'm sure. Thank you all, and hang in there, everybody. One thing's for sure about goldenblack.com. We look forward to telling the story of, like Brian just said, of how we're going to get to spring football and how athletics and all of us are going to get through this virus. So have a good rest of the evening, and thanks again for watching.